step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots-on-the-ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. I'm Tim Dooner, and this is Freight Waves Insiders.
Welcome back to the show where we go inside the world of the people who make freight happen. Today, I have the honor of having this gentleman on for his first podcast ever. A little air cowbell for that one. It's Michael Collin. He is the CEO and founder at a relatively new company that's making what he calls TMS 2.0. They're called Movement, and he's here right now. And actually, I think he just got off an airplane.
That is true. I appreciate you having me on. Happy to be here. And yeah, I sprinted out of the airport and paid a taxi driver to drive me here as quick as possible. So excited to dive in.
And you're in Chicago too, so now I just pitch you in the back, like, drive faster, Kenny.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Well, Michael, so people who may not be familiar, you haven't been on a ton of podcasts. This is your first, so they may not be introduced to you. How about you introduce yourself to us? What's the elevator pitch on you?
Sure. My name is Michael Collin. I'm founder and CEO of Movement. Movement itself, we're a free TMS, completely free TMS. As you mentioned at the beginning, we're kind of calling it TMS 2.0 because really what we're focused on as a company is really redefining what your TMS can actually do. Most people in freight today, you've got three screens up with a bunch of different Chrome tabs, like 15 different things going on. And our goal is really to take most of those individual pieces that you use, build them in the TMS, so that way the product that you're stuck in 12 hours a day isn't something that you hate.
Mm. Yeah, I know the feeling. I've been in freight sales before and in freight management before, and I know what goes on in the TMS. Yeah. I know what goes on in the CRM too. But, you're a relatively young guy, right? And you're a relatively young guy, relatively young company. When did you decide to get into transportation? Like when you were 16, looking at schools, thinking about going to college, was transportation in your blood? I did notice we share somewhat of a similar path in that we both started out in music production.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. So, growing up, one of my uncles is actually a truck driver, but in high school or anything, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I grew up south suburbs of Chicago, but my grandparents have a farm down in outside of Champaign. So I spent most of my childhood down there, corn and soybeans. when it came into high school, I just kind of like got into music production and was fiddling around, and that's what I thought I wanted to do. Did that for a bit, didn't make enough money, went back to school for finance. And that was actually originally what I thought I was going to do. And the way that I got into transportation is I graduated undergrad at DePaul here in Chicago, was going to go work in private equity right out of school. And I had 6 months till my job started. And so one of my good friends at the time, and who's also here at Movement, Jaron, was working at a freight brokerage in Chicago and was just, hey man, why don't you come over here before your other job starts and check it out? And it ended up just, it was super fast paced, super exciting. And I ended up just choosing to stay there rather than go into finance. And that's kind of how it went.
I know the feeling. Music engineers out there, if you want to stop making $19,000 a year and make some real money, come over to the freight side. It's what I had to do. It's what this gentleman had to do. Although I kind of made it full circle here with this.
That's true.
Let me tell you. So you end up at a brokerage, right? And that's probably where you learned of all those monitors and all of this stuff. What was your experience like at that brokerage?
Yeah. So the brokerage I was at was Circle Logistics. Especially for somebody earlier in their career, I think it was a fantastic experience. I started out as an ops rep, just like building loads for Anheuser-Busch, and ended up moving up pretty quickly to director of operations. So I pretty much ran everything there that wasn't carrier sales or customer sales in the Chicago office. Super, super great experience. I think one of the things that I realized early in my career is that, I'm very, very passionate about finance, but I'm the type of person who really likes to work on something tangible, and being able to, work on accounts and work with customers of, I know this company, I have this shipped directly to my house, like products like this, or I got the opportunity to tour a bunch of ports, went out to Port of Indiana, Port of Oakland. And so working in, industry to me, I think is a lot more exciting than working in spreadsheets. So it was a great, being able to move up very quickly there. I got a lot of responsibility that I think I was very fortunate to have that responsibility that early in my career. I feel like I got like 10 years of freight knowledge very, very in like two or three. So very, very great experience.
I mean, you drink from the fire hose in this business. And I can imagine you are someone who's digitally native, growing up completely digitally native. You come into the world of freight. And I know when I did it, and this was in 2005 when I started, I was like, man, these processes are like, we're still faxing stuff. We weren't even scanning documents. I was doing duty drawback. I would get like pallets full of entries that I had to enter in a computer. It was so antiquated and it drove me nuts. I didn't found a company though, but I believe in your story, you were driven nuts by some of these processes too. And that's what led to your decision to start Movement. Is that not true?
Yeah, no, that's correct. It was a little less, there was a lot of pivots in the, on the way there, right? We originally, when I had split from Circle, I originally wanted to start a digital freight broker. The original origin story of Movement is, okay, we were running a brokerage, but same kind of deal, right? You know, you're faxing things on a daily basis. You're logging into, you know, portals that were made that are required to run an Internet Explorer to work with multi-billion dollar shippers. And that's a super frustrating experience, right? Especially when you've got 150 day uploads to cover, and you're dealing with super old technology. And the original plan for Movement was we're going to build this digital broker and look at really everything, the four main kind of buckets that a freight broker handles, right? You've got pricing, whether that be spot loads or bidding on RFPs. You got procurement, which really includes everything from sourcing new carriers, managing compliance on your existing ones, carrier setup, et cetera. You got the performance of actual shipments, which is, appointment scheduling and tracking. And then you've got payments. And payments includes everything from chasing BOLs and rate cons over emails to the actual facilitation of payment and then whether or not you quick pay a carrier, whether or not they go to a factoring company, et cetera. And so the original plan was, hey, you know, we didn't have this technology when we were in the trenches. Let's build it so we can build a better freight brokerage that way. And really, as we designed this product, we started out, we bootstrapped. So Jaren and I were slinging flatbed freight out of the Port of Indiana, moving a bunch of like steel coils for probably 7 or 8 months until we had enough money to start hiring devs. And as we got to that point and started designing this product, really what we realized is, hey, we built a TMS. This is something where why use this internally to be just one other digital freight broker? Why not go and give this away to the long tail of supply chain? Everybody else who can't afford to build their own TMS, and build a better one and give that solution to them.
Yeah. I mean, cash is king in freight, especially if you have assets, right? And the idea of spending that amount of money, that amount of capital to develop software in-house has not traditionally hasn't really been that palatable with a lot of companies. And I think that's what's really helped the freight tech community sort of explode here and the real value of those services come into play. Was it tough, though, to make that transition? Were you scared at all about making the transition from DFB to TMS managed trans?
It was a bit weird because, you know, you're running the nice thing about freight brokerages, right? It's like, as long as you've got hustle, phones, and insurance, you can really run it profitably, right? And so we're making, and when we were going to, you know, pitch to early investors or anything like that, we're like, yeah, we're already running a profitable freight brokerage. That's super awesome. And having to be like, hey guys, we're actually going to turn this entire thing off, get rid of the entire thing and switch to a free product. That was not the easiest, especially when Jaren and I were sharing deodorant. So,
You kind of turned the difficulty to hardcore as well in the game of life because you decided to launch in the middle of a pandemic in 2020, right? How big of a challenge was that?
I think the pandemic wasn't too bad. Our first load we moved was hand sanitizer, which is pretty cool. Nice. But the hardest part, I think, for launching the freight brokerage, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, was cash flow, right? I'm a first-time founder. We didn't have a ton of capital. And so, you know, when you're a new brokerage and you're trying to get set up with, you're trying to set up new carriers, if you don't get approved for factoring, they're like, yeah, you got to pay me 50% on pickup and 50% on delivery. And that's it. And so that, especially when, you know, COVID had started, very, very difficult to get any capital, whether it be a loan. We were too new of a company to get a paycheck protection loan. And so for the most part, being able to jumpstart that capital to be able to pay carriers when you can't get approved for factoring, your new company, I think that was the most difficult part for sure.
How did you sort of crack the VC code? You were able to raise some money, get some investors. What was that sort of pitch process like?
So that was interesting. I think that my family, my background, I don't have a ton of experience with venture capital or anything like that. So
yeah,
it was a lot of just learning how to speak that language, a freight operator, not a tech CEO for the most part. And so being able to communicate effectively, not just like, hey, this is what our business is, but this is why it's scalable. And this is why we get better at what we do as we scale, I think was something that was definitely a learning process.
Well, beautiful. Well, so now that you are a little bit more mature, you're 2 years in, what's the goal this year?
Yeah. So, you know, our goal this year is getting this TMS in everybody's hands for the most part, right? Which is the goal for every company. But, you know, we're still very early stage. And the thing that we're focused on for the most part right now is really going from a product that we had built as a way to facilitate, you know, your freight internally and go to this full TMS, right? We built the T, now we need to build the M and the S. And so focusing on our initial customer base, getting great feedback and iterating on the product and making sure that we're building something that people can use. You know, like I said, you're there 12 hours a day. It should not be something that looks like it was built 20 years ago. It shouldn't be something where you've got 90,000 pop-ups for any time you want to try and get information. It should be, you know, something that you actually like working with. And just making sure that we can actually build that, I think is really the goal for this year. That and scaling out the team.
Yeah, I mean, UI, UX is, I think it's sort of paramount because you're asking a lot of people to come into roles, especially now during this hiring spree, that may not have a ton of freight experience. And they have to be able to understand this software really quickly and get up to speed. How much focus do you put on that UI and UX?
So we've got, you know, there's a big focus on UI UX. I think the thing that's even a little bit more important for us though is the customer success role. And making sure, like you said, getting people onboarded, making sure that they understand the product because I've used two different TMSs in the past and for each one, it's the learning curve is so high because there's so many things baked in. And you don't have a ton of, you know, handholding on the way when you're getting started. There's a bunch of functionality that you don't exactly know what it means. And really making sure that we can get people in the product and understanding how it works is, I think, is paramount.
How many of those people are using your product right now? How many carriers you got on board?
So we've got quite a few carriers. So nice thing is that we put this in the hands of a handful of freight broker partners, that are bringing people on, inviting their network. So we've got about 30,000 carriers on the platform right now, signed up. As far as that's actively in there bidding on freight is not as high, but we, very, very fortunate to be working with a bunch of people with great networks that we're able to kind of use to jumpstart the platform.
When you think a little longer term, when you think about how this company is going to develop next year, 3 years, 5 years, what are some of those goals and those mile markers you're setting for yourself?
Yeah. So, you know, really the most important thing here that we can do and the way that we see movement far out into the future, right, is that we should be able to kind of build this little walled garden around individual companies and their transportation management solutions, right? especially for, I kind of mentioned, we go after really the long tail supply chain. So if you're a broker, once you get big enough, you build your own TMS, right? Whether that be at $250 million of revenue, whether it be 500, but big brokers, they build their own TMS. And that's something that you can't, like you had mentioned before, it's something that you can't do as a small company. And so really what we focus on and where we want to be 3 or 5 years from now is we want to be almost a one-stop shop for anything that a smaller mid-size mid-market broker, shipper needs to manage their freight. Whether that be at the outset, just the TMS, whether that be things like insurance or helping out with quick pay, whether that be, you know, surety bonds, I don't know. There are a lot of different things where by being this TMS provider, we can really work with these companies as, you know, kind of their system of record to be able to help them with anything else that they might need. Like I said, when we started Movement, we started out just bootstrapping as a broker. It was super hard for me to pay my carriers because I was basically just using my bank account. And so, you know, for us, if, you know, for companies that aren't able to do that, we can actually help facilitate those transactions, or whether that be you have high cargo, you need gap insurance and high cargo value load, any auxiliary services that we can then tack on to make sure that people are supported, especially at, again, small companies are supported in everything that they need to manage their freight.
So we started this interview talking about you getting off a flight. You've been in multiple cities. I know your team is growing. You've been doing a lot of hiring. What is your hiring philosophy, though? What do you consider when you're thinking about building a team?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and this is something that I rant about all the time. I promise not to rant on this podcast, though. But
no, please rant.
So what the one thing that I think is really, really important and probably the biggest thing that we're looking for, making sure we're building a movement is, you know, for most companies in the freight tech space, you're one or the other, right? You're either a tech company or you're a freight company. You have companies on the tech side that are solely focused on product. Maybe these are guys out from Silicon Valley. Maybe these are, you know, people that have looked at freight and said, this is a really, really big industry. I want to find a way to disrupt it, right, from the outside. And then on the flip side, you've got freight companies, which are people in freight who want to go build a software solution because they've recognized the problem. But maybe they're, you know, but they're still freight people. So maybe they don't have, you know, it's difficult to either find devs or you don't have, you know, founding team maybe doesn't have a great CTO or something like that. And the thing that's, you know, and you can feel it in both of these products, right? Like on the pure tech companies, you can feel when you log into a platform that is built by someone who's never booked a load in their life. Like you could feel it. And you're like, what were they doing when they designed this? And then on the freight side, you know, you log in, you're like, okay, this is pretty good, but you know, I see what we're trying to do here, but maybe not the best. And so for us, I think, you know, we're not just a tech company. We're not just a freight company. We're very, very focused on being an actual freight tech company. And I think those should be, you know, the weight to the value of each of those should be equal, right? And so when we're talking about hiring, the thing that's most important for our team is that we have both freight knowledge and tech knowledge, and that those people interact. I was talking to somebody from a very large digital freight broker who was in, you know, their product team is in a completely different city than the rest of their, you know, kind of like freight team. And so this guy is like, yeah, I was, you know, I'm over there, I'm doing product, and every, you know, we're building this platform, and every 3 months they fly us out to meet the rest of the team, like all the brokers. And, you know, we got there and we got in the, you know, walk in the office and we're like, what the, like, this is what we do? Like, I thought we were a tech company. Like, what's going on? And so that disconnect is something that we're very, very focused on not having here. I want to make sure that the people that are engineering this product talk to the people who are in sales, who used to work at a freight brokerage, who know what needs to happen in TMS, right? I want the people on the freight side to understand the process of what we're building. So that way they understand, you know, not only how it affects customers, not only how they sell it to customers, but also how it affects their day to day, right? So, you know, keeping those two very, very close together, I think is the most important thing for us when we're hiring.
What do you find harder to find, that a great freight experience or the great dev experience? Are we doing a good job of attracting tech talent to this field?
We're in Chicago. So the best thing for us is freight talent. It's very, very easy to get great freight talent here in Chicago, right?
You can't throw a rock without hitting a freight broker
right,
somewhere.
Right. You go out to a bar and some dude's complaining about a load that he can't.
His TO news and yeah. 10 minutes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I remember like being at Tao for like a New Year's thing at Circle, and we had a load from a huge customer that we were like standing in the area where everybody smokes cigarettes, like booking this load at like 2 in the morning. So like those people, it's very, very easy to find those people in Chicago. The tech experience is something, and also, you know, we've got a good network, right? Like once you work at one freight brokerage, you somehow know someone at all of them, right? As people kind of like disperse. So, you know, that on that side, you know, I think we've got a very, very great talent pool. And for us now, the big focus and the bigger challenge is, you know, how do you find great tech talent that is also excited about this problem, right? I think we're doing a much better job of, you know, getting good tech talent into the industry. But I think from the outside, a lot of people perceive a lot of these problems that we face as simple, right? And which is wrong. You know, supply chain is like one of the most complex problems on the planet. I mean, if you look at last mile traveling salesman problem, right? That's computationally insane. And so for a lot of devs, they look at this as, you know, I think one thing that people could do better is when talking to devs or hiring people from outside the industry to come in here is communicating that like, these aren't just simple products and easy solutions that you're not going to be challenged with, right? Devs want to be challenged. They want complex problems. And, you know, working in a market where you've got a very, very huge, hugely fragmented carrier base, hugely fragmented broker base, and 100,000 plus shippers in the United States, you know, getting all of these companies to connect on transactions that happen, you know, right away. I think that's a very, very challenging problem. And I think the thing that we can do better is really communicate to these people like, hey, like this is not just a very, very complex problem that needs to be solved, but it also has, you know, tangible real world, you know, implications, right? It's not, you know, I wanted to be in finance. It's not just like working in a spreadsheet all day. You're building something that is affecting, you know, like ports off the coast or capacity for anything that, you know, everything in my background and in your background has been delivered by a truck at some point, right? I think communicating that to people is key.
And, you know, you have to be somewhat malleable too, right? With the direction you're going with the code and the software, because there's a billion variables in freight that can screw up the direction of what you're doing anyway. So that's kind of the fun part of the problem. I like how you spun it that way too, that this isn't just a one-stop thing. You're not going to do this code and be out the door. This isn't like a freelance contract job. This is a real developmental job with a real career path.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. And I think, you know, for us, especially as a startup, the thing that you talk about career path, you know, the nice thing for, you know, for us for recruiting is that a lot of that, even the path itself is very valuable, right? Everybody, when we first, the first couple of people that we hired, we just, you know, we're like, let's get some smart generalists in the door and they can like figure it out. And so far, you know, all those people have at this point now gone into and kind of built out some of the individual departments at our company. And I think like the nice thing about this space is that we're still very early in the freight tech kind of maturity of the industry. And so a lot of those career paths, even there's a lot of optionality there.
Is there anything you don't miss about being a freight broker? I know, like, for me personally, for a year, I did perishable air freight, clearing entries for perishable. And it was, like, 24-7 job. And I would get, like, awful freight mares and just anxiety, like, just random anxiety from doing that job after a while. It was awful. That was my least favorite part of being on that side.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things I personally don't miss about freight. But that's also because, you know, like I said, I was the ops guy at my last company. I wasn't the dude. And when we started Movement, I ended up having to, you know, get in there and you know, book freight for about a year straight. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, that's not necessarily the thing that I'm best at. And so I think, you know, the nice thing about where we're at now is that we're very, very focused on just enabling other people to do what they do very well, right? The thing that I don't miss about covering, you know, covering individual shipments is that that's not my strong suit, right? And so, but the thing that I am good at is finding better ways to enable other people to do that. And so for us as a company, you know, I think, the thing that, you know, we're super, super focused on is, and that's reflected in, you know, the way that we run the company. We don't, you know, for carriers, right? We're not, you have other tech platforms where they're basically, you know, running compliance on these carriers and selecting the carriers on the platform for you, right? You know, for us, I'm probably not the best at evaluating which carrier you want to use on a given shipment. You are. And so, you know, we're building this platform and making sure that we're just enabling people to make the decisions they want to, rather than coming in and being like, yeah, we're a platform, but we're also your broker and you can only use our carriers kind of thing.
Now, I work in a startup and I've seen culture and the dynamics of the place change and shift over these past 3 years at FreightWaves. How do you get a handle on your culture in a growing startup and making sure it's what you want it to be, especially in a remote world where sometimes connections can almost feel a little hollow?
Yeah. Well, that last point I completely agree with. You know, we're focused on, you know, that problem I said right before, where you've got like your engineering talent is in some other state and they don't work with your team very closely. You know, for us, we're all, we're doing our best efforts to hire in Chicago. You know, just because we're a tech company doesn't mean that we all have to sit on Slack in like different places. I think that, you know, we've got an office, right? We actually just signed on it. And so we've got great 7,000 square foot in the middle of Chicago. But we're also doing a hybrid model, right? So you don't have to come in every day. There aren't individual loads to cover because we're not a brokerage. So like, you know, if you need to go take your kids somewhere for the day, yeah, sure. You don't need to be in the office if you want to work from home an individual day. But people, I think, want at least some option to interact with their coworkers. I know I do. And so that's, I think, one of the things when we're thinking about culture is like, yeah, let's make sure that we give people the option to go in and, you know, work with other people and, you know, have, you know, kind of that like casual conversations, but also give them the flexibility to, you know, if they've got something else going on, can work from wherever.
All right, time for the hard balls. Chicago deep dish or New York pizza?
Actually, Detroit. Detroit style pizza is my favorite. Yeah.
Okay, man. Well, if people like what they heard today, how do they work with you? How do they join your team? Philemon.
So we've got all of our job postings are out on movement.io. So MVMNT.io. And then on the careers page, we have all of our jobs posted there on LinkedIn and Indeed. But, you know, we've got, if anybody has, you know, sees a position open that they think they'd be a great fit for, or just, you know, general inquiry type positions, we are ramping up hiring very, very quickly. Also too, you know, you could just shoot an email over to careers@movement.io email, and it goes straight to my inbox. So.
Well, thanks. That was great, man. If you, the audience, like today's show, you can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcast. Just look up FreightWaves Insiders, or if you want every single FreightWaves show all in one feed, Simply look up FreightCast. It's a full trailer load of podcasts. Prefer to watch it? Download the Freight Waves TV app, or even better, people, the brand new Freight Waves app. It's got chat in it. It's got all our video. It's got all our articles. It's got all of our audio content. It is fantastic. Hey, one more time, thank you for letting us step inside your world today. And hey, don't be a stranger.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me on.
Step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots on the ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. I'm Tim Dooner, and this is Freight Waves Insiders.